checking in with us on Friday. Now you wonder why I'm all discombobulated. Well, we had high school basketball yesterday on Thursday because the girls' sectional, North and Jeff Turmale. His Cougars are in the semifinals over in St. Leon, taking on the host East Central. So we had high school boys' basketball for you last night, and we had, thankfully, the deputy mayor of the city of Bloomington flip his schedule for us. Mick Renheisen, we appreciate your increased flexibility here in 2018.
No worries. Happy to accommodate.
Happy to shift it around. Well, good. Again, I've been telling the story all morning about the game last night with North and Edgewood. It was a fantastic piece of theater. Exhausting as these teams just went nipping. It was 10-8 after one, 27-24 North at halftime, 42-41 after three, and obviously 58-58 heading into overtime. So there wasn't a lot of separation between these two local teams, and it's made for an early Friday morning start. But I'm glad you're here to help me out with everything. And you've had a big week. We've got so many things to get with you. Let's start with number one. It's a new month, so it's Black History Month, and you had a big gala to kick things off last night.
We did. We had a special speaker in, Eric Love, the director of staff diversity for Notre Dame University, came in and spoke to a pretty good gathering of folks in City Hall last night, talking about from protest to progress and masking the movement, of course, Martin Luther King Jr.'s legacy, and kicking off the month of Black History Month. There's some other activities coming up. Tickets actually went on sale yesterday for the 14th annual Black History Month Gala. That'll take place on Saturday, February 24th at the Hilton Garden Inn. There'll be a reception, a silent auction. That begins at 6. Dinner begins at 7. Awards will be presented. We'll recognize the 2018 Living Legend. And also the Commission on the Status of Black Males will recognize the 2018 Outstanding Black Male Leader of Tomorrow. So if you're interested in attending that event, tickets are $50 each. Can be purchased at the Buskirk Chumley box office or online at buskirkchumley.org or by phone at 323-3020. If you want to know more about the event and what's going to go on or have any questions about Black History Month activities, Rafi Hassan is your contact at the Community and Family Resources Department, 349-3559.
Yeah, and there's a ton of events going on as well. The fourth annual Pink Goes Red at the Second Baptist Church. That's from 5:30 to 7:30 today. That's the Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. The annual Pancake Breakfast, Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, has that going on at Longhorn Steakhouse tomorrow morning from 8 to 10:30. And then the Bloomington Transit Center. They're going to be busy with a meeting next week, which we'll talk about, I think, here in a minute. But they have Rosa Parks Day coming up tomorrow as well, as the city invites residents to celebrate which would have been the civil rights activist Rosa Parks' 105th birthday. And obviously, the giving up the seat on the bus has been, we know everybody knows that story. So it's the Bloomington Transit Center hosting that 1 p.m. tomorrow. That makes perfect sense.
There you go. And some other things going on this weekend, a rescheduled housing and neighborhood development neighborhood workshop that'll be presented in conjunction with our HAND department, Housing and Neighborhood Development, along with our Council of Neighborhood Associations. We'll have the Bloomington Police Department there. We'll have the IU Dean of Students there. And folks can find out more about neighborhood programs, housing, Neighborhood Watch, IU's policy on off-campus students regarding housing and services. That'll take place tomorrow, Saturday the 3rd. From 10 a.m. to noon in the council chamber. So that one was rescheduled after we had some bad weather a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that's part of the deal. These things all shift around. And we've had nothing but you've had plenty of meetings, all kinds of them.
That's what we do.
That's what you do. What time's our meeting to have a meeting about our next meeting? But you've had a busy week, and the Convention Center Committee got together earlier in the week. You added a new member. John Weichert's going to join us on the program Tuesday morning. He'll get into all the nuts and bolts of it. But just give us a thumbnail sketch of what went on when you guys all got together. I believe it was that Wednesday or Tuesday?
It was.
They all run together.
Yeah, they kind of do. Let's see. I think it was Tuesday, and that was a regathering of our group, and our work had kind of been suspended while the food and beverage tax was being debated and discussed and then eventually approved on December 13th, I think. And so we had not met since then, and this was a regrouping meeting to continue on. I think we're in like step 6.5 or 7 of 8 of the ones that this commission was charged with, and our next step will be to meet with the proposed developer and begin I guess, to get in more detail in negotiations with them about, now that we have a funding source, what next steps are. And I'm sure Mr. Weikart will fill you in more, but that's what we did, talked a lot about the next steps, try to create a timeline for, you know, if you back time from when you want to have a convention center open, what are the steps you have to take, and, you know, how long will that be, and kind of lining those things all out. But that next step for this commission is to get together with the developer.
And that is the Sun Corporation. I'm trying to think.
Sun Development was the respondent to the RFI that is who we'll be talking to.
Okay. And the question was, after the food and beverage tax was passed in December, this wasn't going to, quote unquote, reopen up for bids, was it? This was already kind of in that. My thought was, hey, look, Monroe County is putting this tax in. It sounds more of a stable situation. Did other people try to get involved late in this process? Was that even an option, or am I just off base here?
Well, the respondents to the RFI, there were two, had to respond by a certain date, and
gotcha.
Sun was the preferred vendor of the two, developer of the two. They met our criteria, so this step, you know, long pause between those two things, is to start that discussion with Sun. Are you still interested? All the detailed discussions that you would have in a negotiation with a developer, we just haven't had those yet. We have had some other entities that missed the deadline that had expressed interest, and we don't have any plans at the moment to do anything with them until we do our negotiation discussion with the vendor that did respond to the RFI.
Gotcha. And we'll get into more details with John Weikart on this as we come up. Now, everybody knows yesterday, Thursday, February 1st, the food and beverage tax has kicked in and raring to go. What I wanted to hear and know from you, I know you've told us how this is going to work before. This first year of collecting the food and beverage tax is going to be a guidance of how kind of everything is financed moving forward?
So the state statute that enables the food and beverage tax says you must collect it for a year before you can bond against it. So that means we couldn't do any debt service. Not when I say we, I mean the community, because the entity to be the financed signer of all the contracts and all that would likely be the county, but it's undetermined at this point. That's another step in the process. But the financing for a construction of an expanded convention center could not be bonded for until you have at least 1 year of the collection of the tax to assure that the revenue projections are valid, and that number then becomes what you can use to bond against. And then the new commission that has to be appointed, that 7-member commission, is the entity that actually approves expenditures from the food and beverage tax source. Hope that doesn't get confusing, but there's
I'm digesting.
yeah, there's a commission, like this is very similar to the Visitors Commission.
Okay.
That operates and provides funding to Visit Bloomington and to the existing convention center. That commission, enabled by state statute, determines how those funds are allocated. And that's what this commission for the food and beverage tax, when it's named, and it hasn't been yet, will be the same kind of entity. They'll approve how the funds are dispersed for, assuming there'll be a project for one thing, a convention center expansion, and then any operational expenses and so forth. And that mirrors, from my understanding, pretty much what's happening with the Visitors Commission and the Visit Bloomington and existing operation of the convention center. That tax that is now 5%, 3% goes to Visit Bloomington to promote and get people to come to Bloomington, 2% goes to manage and maintain and at one time pay debt service on the existing convention center. So the new 1% food and beverage tax will fund the construction, management, operation, but it has to be approved by this new commission created by state statute.
Gotcha. So you just got to connect the dots here and follow the pieces to the puzzle. Mick Renhuizen is our guest this morning. The deputy mayor checks in every, well, week, maybe Thursdays, maybe Fridays on all that. Heck, we've already got a round of golf in the books. We'll talk about that here in just a minute. But another story that came out last week, and I think this was after we spoke, it was. I didn't want it to fall underneath there because I think it's important because your surveys have told you it's important. And you're a survey guy, and you've made no bones about that. But the city is looking to approve the reset rate of the Cumulative Capital Development Fund. That was announced last week. Tell us what that is and what you're going to do with that if it is sure. raised.
So there's caps on the amount of funds that the state sets, and there's an adjustment that you're allowed if you're under that cap. And on this particular funding source, Cumulative Capital Development, or CCD for short, as we like to call it here amongst the people in City Hall, is used as a capital, as it suggests in the title, funding source for certain elements of city service delivery. And for us, that's road infrastructure, sidewalks, trails, those kind of things. So we're just a little under the cap of, I think, 5%, and we're at 4.7 or 4.8. And we'd like to raise it to 5. This is a reset we're allowed to do by the state, 5. So it's almost, it's 0.2 or 0.3 increase in this particular tax. It's going to generate $100,000 more per year by raising it from its existing mark to the 5% mark. And we want to accelerate our sidewalk program. And so we are going to utilize, we had a program that Public Works managed for a while when there were funds for it that, as you may or may not know, the resident is responsible for the sidewalk in front of their home.
Well, that was going to be my next question for you, because the interesting part of that was, hey, look, we'll help put it together, but you got to pick up the cost on the tab on the other part of that. So who's responsible in the city limits for the sidewalks? It is the property owner?
It is. So the city put the infrastructure in at one time in front of your house or anybody else's that lives in the city. And as that asset deteriorates, it's the homeowner's responsibility to repair or replace it when necessary. That can be, trees pushing up underneath it,
right.
Wear and tear, age, things that normally wear out. Everything has a lifespan, and sidewalks do as well. So obviously, that can be a burden on some residents, and what we wanted to do was we had a program where if we had some funds to pay for materials, then, or I think it's labor. We paid for the labor, you paid for the materials, and that softened the blow to get your sidewalk in front of your home repaired. So we haven't been able to fund that for a while, so with this additional $100,000, if the council approves the rate change, per year, we'll be able to supplement that fund again, and we'll be able to allow for those, call them grants, if you will, ways to help residents replace or repair sidewalks in front of their home. This is for existing sidewalks.
Yes, that's the difference, right.
Yeah, over time, we may, direct these funds, if we get caught up on repairs, we may direct these funds to new sidewalk initiatives as well. But for the moment, the intent is to reestablish that matching program, if you will, that helps residents repair sidewalks in front of their homes that have deteriorated.
I thought I read somewhere this was when your community grows and gets bigger, it stretches you the wrong directions and limits how you could spend. This is kind of trying to get back to level par, right?
And this is kind of that adjustment that you're allowed to do. That it's the state recognizing that there are times when adjustments have to be made, and if cities fall below that for property tax cap reasons or others, then you can make adjustments, and that's what one of these. This is what this is.
Okay, and to put it in simple math terms, if you have $50,000 assessed, it's $1, and you can do the math on from that annually, right?
Yep, you got it.
That's how it goes. I'm not any good at math, Mick. I've all the times on this program I sit around and try to be helpful. It's just it's hurtful is what it is. So I leave it to the experts like you. Mick Renheisen is our guest this morning, the deputy mayor of the city of Bloomington. What else do we need to get to here on a Friday morning? I know the weekend's right around the corner, which seems weird, but it's a good thing when we get together.
Well, you were talking about meetings, and we've got a lot of plan efforts underway. We just obviously the city council approved the comprehensive master plan that leads to the development of the unified development ordinance. That's the rules we talked about last week a little bit. Last time, this Unified Development Ordinance document was over 360 pages, So it is a much heavier lift, much more detailed than the Comprehensive Master Plan, which is the guiding document. So we're kicking that off, and the first public meeting will be on Tuesday, February 6th. That will be at 6 o'clock. It'll be held in the community room of Bloomington's Transit Downtown Center. So we'll have city staff there, our consultant will be there, and this is just one of the many ways we'll gather input on the Unified Development Ordinance, and then they'll be presenting back over periods of time. This is a 13 to 15 month process. It has to go to the Plan Commission when the draft is done, and it has to go to the City Council. Same process as we had to use for the Comprehensive Master Plan. But remember, this is the guiding document. This will tell you the rules for how our community builds out in future years in terms of the built infrastructure.
Yeah, it's a big deal. So if you want to get involved with it, you better do so. And we'll help remind you as the week goes on when these new meetings are and everything else. And you're right, you've got a ton of meetings going on at some places. Some of these meetings have jumped around a little bit because of weather. Some of these have had to move locations because of, I think some at the county courthouse that were going on over there, their elevator's not working. So they've got some over at City Hall. I think if you just hang out at City Hall from like 9
you'll run into a meeting.
You won't. You'll run into somebody who's going to run into a meeting that will help you with some kind of app or some kind of something to get you in the way. The golf is in Phoenix this week. It's the biggest party. They had 104,000 people on the grounds of TPC Scottsdale yesterday for round one of the Waste Management Phoenix Open. That's a party out there. Have you been to that one? We know you've been to a lot of them.
I have not been to that one. That is a completely different golf event than I'm used to seeing with all the stadium around that par three. It's an incredible atmosphere. I think the pros really enjoy something unique like that. So I'll be at the next one, the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, which is, you know, the celebrity Pro-Am.
Yeah.
Uniqueness of that is what is unique from my perspective. I enjoy that aspect of it. So that's the following week. They'll be out in Pebble Beach, and I looked at the forecast, and boy, the Chamber of Commerce at Carmel and Pebble Beach and Pacific Grove and Monterey gotta love the weather forecast. Not a drop of rain for 10 straight days, with highs in the 70s, low 70s, and sunshine every day, and that is so unusual for that peninsula. I'll believe it when I see it, because it can change when you turn your back on the ocean. But so far, it looks like an outstanding week for that event, and the pictures that everyone gets to see on TV of that beautiful place of California are breathtaking.
And it's easier, yes. When that's foggy and gray and it's cold and gray here, it's kind of a double whammy. But to see those, that's
exciting. I want to mention, I predicted that Eldrick would finish in the top 25 last week.
He did.
And he finished tied for 23rd.
Could have been a little bit better. He had it to -5 on Sunday, but a couple bogeys in his last six holes knocked him back. The course played tougher as the day went on, and he just stood right there and watched a bunch of people slide by him in the wrong direction. I think that we're happy to report he's not injured. That's the good news. His short game is unbelievable. Imagine if he starts hitting some fairways and some greens. Who knows? And that's why it's interesting, because it wasn't 78, 79, see you later. He grounded out, played really well. We'll see him back at Riviera after you're in Pebble. He's in Los Angeles the following week, so he's still just trying to piece together how this is going to work. But you nailed that prediction. Very, very good on all of that.
Well, I don't get him right very often, so I thought I'd mention
Brag that. Brag all you can. That's exactly right. Do you have any trivia for me this morning? I feel bad that Keith's not here.
I do. Let me say one more thing.
Yeah,
I want to have a
shout-out
to CFC Properties. They were recognized this past week at the Indiana Parks and Recreation State Conference as the Corporate Partner of the Year.
Excellent.
And that was actually last night in Fort Wayne. This is an award that recognizes a company that has significantly contributed to the field of parks and recreation and developed a strong partnership with the Parks and Recreation Agency, obviously Bloomington here in our case. So CFC Properties and President Jim Murphy, I know from my relationship with Jim when I was a parks director, and he's continued this since I've moved on to a different role, that they're great supporters of the Bloomington Parks and Recreation Department through event sponsorships and through the Parks Foundation's Youth Scholarship Fund, and have been exceptional neighbors to our community farmers market, because they sit on the other side of the building and help with parking and allow us to share those kind of things. So it's a great relationship. I'm very happy for them and appreciate the good work that they do in our community generally, but it's great to see them recognized on a statewide basis.
Outstanding, and fair play to them, and they're our landlord here as well. So
I'm just going to give you one trivia question.
Good, that's all I have time for. Good job.
All right.
You read
my
mind.
This is our bicentennial trivia question.
Oh, I like it.
All right. While working in the chemistry department at IU, which product did Professor Harry Day help create? Is it A, Listerine, B, rubber cement, C, Crest toothpaste, or D, liquid paper?
I'm pretty sure it's Crest toothpaste.
It is Crest toothpaste.
That's one of those that sticks out because of that brand that's going to transcend time and space, but that's fantastic there. And it's just another addition to the unbelievable things that go on over there. Great partnership with the city and the university. It's only been going on for a couple hundred years, Mick.
That's all.
Hey, safe travels, great everything. Best of luck on your connections and all that other stuff out there. I want a full report when you get back. And do you know who's pinch hitting next week?
Mary Catherine Carmichael.
Oh, good. We'll get caught up with her.
Our public engagement director, yep.
Yeah, we'll hear all about her Super Bowl party. Tell her I'm coming with the hard questions.
I'll let her know.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, thanks.